This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
The Cliffo and Bronte podcast, things a bit different now because on Fridays at 9 a.m. we're dropping out after hours.
Yes, something a little podcast. Fun to get you into the Friday feeling.
That is the adults only, would you say? Or the M-rated?
Yeah,
more,
it's
more
just,
mature podcast.
Yeah, just stuff that we don't talk about on the show between 6 and 9.
But this is the regular Cliffo and Bronte pod right now. This is the best bits from the tail end of the week, plus some sneaky new stuff, including the Alpha Bucks clue.
Yes.
Coming up, the beautiful Sarah Harris.
She was probably one of my favourite people that we've interviewed.
Really?
She was. I just appreciate when people are that willing and open to talk about what's going on. And obviously, she's had a big week.
Yeah.
New project host. So
I'll let everyone else know who we've interviewed so far. They need to pick up their game, according to Bronte.
Thank you. Yes.
Plus, what do you store in your freezer that's not food?
This was a great... I couldn't believe the calls that we got on this.
Surprisingly, there's a bit.
A huge.
There's a bit. It's coming up. Buckle up, guys. The Cliffo and Bronte podcast. It's a month till Christmas. Usually happy tidings, but for me, not all of the things great, not all the things I'm loving. I am here to be a Grinch when it comes to one aspect of Christmas in particular.
Eggnog.
That is. No, not a fan of that either, really. Maybe unload on that next week. Glitter.
Hey, mate.
Not a glitter guy.
In dangerous waters.
I was actually at Big W the other day and I saw there was Christmas cards on sale and on the pack it said glitter free. And I was like, yes, they're the cards for me.
Okay.
Glitter is annoying. Like there's been, I think because I've been glitter bombed before too, where they, you know, you get sent an envelope.
Yeah.
So you open it up and then the glitter goes everywhere.
Oh my God, that would be my dream.
So I have an absolute, until you have to clean it up. I have a huge aversion to the stuff. And it's everywhere at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So I thought once and for all, it is time to ask the question.
What's the deal with
glitter? A quick moment of sympathy, please, for all the parents of, in particular, young girls out there. Glitter to little ladies is like blood to a vampire. They crave the stuff and they have a sense in sniffing it out. I've lived in a glitter-filled hellhole for the last 8 years. My words come from a place of experience. And it's at this time of year, Bronte, Christmas, that this Superman-style kryptonite is forced into our lives once again. There are so many reasons to dislike glitter, it's impossible to list them all. But I'll try.
No.
Number one, the stuff is practically impossible to clean. You can't wipe it, you can't sweep it, you can't even vacuum it.
That's true.
Number two, glitter is literally small pieces of aluminium mixed with plastic. Very nasty stuff. One American woman literally inhaled so much she was hospitalized. Oh. And sure, look, Americans are stupid, but that's still pretty scary. And number three, the Kardashians have been described as the queens of the global glitterati movement, a fashionable group of people engaged in show business and other glamorous activities. The glitterati. Just another reason not to like those shiny little pieces of devil dust. I'm Guy Clifton. This Christmas, choose cards, baubles, and other festive knickknacks that are glitter-free. And one more thing. Bah, humbug.
Oh.
What's the deal with glitter? Bronte.
I'm most angry during that story that you didn't use the chance to say glitterally.
Oh.
That's what's the deal with, mate.
Everyone stop. We're going to start
again. Do it again.
Alpha Bucks is back on Monday morning after the weekend. It's still worth $1,000 cash, Bronte Langbrook.
Yes, and to get you one step closer, make sure you've got the clue for Mondays, which is dolphin.
Dolphin?
I feel like you could do a good dolphin impersonation.
Oh, that's setting me up
to
fail.
I don't know. I just see that in
where
you.
They go,
perfect.
That was awful.
Was perfect. Get Flipper on the phone.
She set me up to fail there, guys. Honestly, thrown under the bus. Dolphin, your free Alpha Bucks clue for Monday on Hit. I talk to you a lot about being a father and a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I generally tell the stories that paint me in a good light.
Yes.
Father of the year.
Of course, you want to present the best version of you.
Yeah. Well.
To people.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Uh-oh.
This father of the year may be losing the title after what happened involving my 8-year-old daughter, Matilda, who, side note, little bit like you.
Okay.
You were talking just this morning about not liking cockroaches.
Yeah.
Like an alive cockroach, creepy crawly, like for my daughter, that is her number one fear.
I get it. I get it, girl.
Like she's not an animal, like particularly like snakes, spiders, yeah. Toads, frogs, you know, like she likes our cat.
No, she's similar to me then.
She might like dogs.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, you know? Imagine her surprise when she reaches up at the back in the, like the spare fridge, like we call it our beer fridge.
Oh yeah, like in the garage?
It's in under the back patio, right? Uh-huh. So imagine her surprise. She's out there. She's reaching up to grab a Zupa Dupa, her favorite ice block. But instead of picking up a Zupa Dupa, she picks up a plastic bag.
Oh, God. Is this going to be a Dharma situation? Is this okay to broadcast?
It's a bit Dharma. Picks up a plastic bag, opens it up. There is a dead, frozen solid cane toad. Said bag.
That's not what you want.
Because for those who don't know, that's what we're told to do. That's the humane way to put down a cane toad.
I just recently learnt this.
Well, so what happens is, it is very humane, you know, amongst other ways that Queenslanders will often dispose of cane toads. But if you put a cane toad in a bag and just put it in the freezer, it just quietly goes to sleep. Like it doesn't hop around and get scared or anything. It just quietly goes to sleep.
Right.
And until it's dead.
Uh-huh.
So that's how you humanely euthanize cane toads.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever spot them around my house, like I will pick them up and I will freeze them because I don't want Taco the cat.
Oh, true.
To have a crack and get the toxins or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And the ibises aren't always around to get rid of them, as we learned yesterday.
The ibises are starting to eat them.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they're not always there. So
not available.
If I can catch them, I don't want Taco to eat them, I'll bag them up and I'll put them in the freezer. And the thing is, though, I've always been fine because she's never been able to reach the top shelf.
Matilda?
Yeah, of the freezer. But she's now obviously hit that point where she's just tall enough. So I would always put the Zupa Dupas on the bottom shelf.
No.
And I would put the toads on the top shelf.
Don't want to get those two mixed up.
Well, that's what she did.
Oh, no.
And I tell you what, the scream I reckon you could hear from the other side of it. Like she screamed bloody murder.
I don't blame her.
And then I had to do the whole explanation to her. Well, Dad always puts them in there. And then we dispose of them because it's the humane thing to do. And
circle of life.
Circle of life, baby girl. But got me thinking, 13, 10, 60, what have you put in the freezer before that's not food? Now, obviously, the weirder the better here.
Dharma situations, though.
Well, I was going to say, I am open to people who have done what I've done and turned the freezer into a makeshift morgue. Because I have heard stories before of like, you know, animals, you know, either pets or wild animals passing away for whatever reason, need to keep them till bin day or whatever, chuck them in the freezer. Like I've heard stories before of people hiding cash in the freezer because who's going to look for it?
Interesting.
Like
okay.
Stuffed into the butt, like into the hole of a chicken.
I put my jeans in the freezer because
apparently that's
meant to help them shrink. And you're not meant to wash denim, so I put my jeans in the freezer.
13, 10, 60, who's put something in the freezer other than food? Fiona is here. Fiona, what's in the freezer that's not food?
It was a bird.
A bird?
Yeah. I used to live on acreage and birds used to fly into the windows and die.
Yeah, that's awful.
My dad was a fashion designer, so he said, keep the good ones for me because he used to pluck the feathers and make these marks.
So he would freeze the bird to keep the feathers fresh for the masks.
That's, I mean, a very, like a unique fashion design.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
Katie's here. Katie, what has someone stored in the freezer that's not actually food?
My parents like to store pooey nappies in the freezer.
Why? God, why?
Because they don't like maggots in their bins. So
they can go maggoty.
So when the grandkids come to stay, they like to make I've put the pooey nappies in their
in
bin.
In the freezer.
In the freezer,
instead of straight in the
There's
bin.
There's so many things of this conversation that is not making me feel great.
Katie, please tell me they have, like, a separate shelf or something.
Yeah, so Dad's bait freezer has been turned into, like you said before, a bit of a morgue as well. So the pooey nappies go in the bait freezer.
All right.
Kat, don't expect me to be coming around anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a frozen pie from Katie's dad's place, that's for sure. Reese, what's gone in the freezer that's not food?
The placentas from my two kids' births.
Oh, wow.
Why did you want to preserve them?
So originally we were going to plant trees in the garden, you know, like a little remora thing for the kids. And we just never got around to it. And the eldest is 5 and the youngest is 2. And they're still sitting at the bottom of the freezer.
Wow.
You can do a lot of things with the placenta.
Someone's going to come one day. They're going to be like, oh, look at this big fat German sausage.
Let's fry it up.
Bit of bratwurst for breakfast. Alex, you're only 11 years old, Alex. So was this mum, dad, or someone you know who froze something?
My mum. Put poo in the fridge.
A specific type, Alex?
A while of poo.
Oh, okay, that's I'm your glad mom, we clarified
your
that.
Your mum stores in the freezer koala poo. Why?
She's an up and coming conservation dog detection dog trainer.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so
a clever woman.
So the dogs sniff out the poo to find the koalas.
Yeah, and she puts them in ice cream containers. So last night, me and my sister went to go get some ice cream, and all we found was poo.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That's not what you want to be putting your ice magic on top of.
Absolutely
for dessert.
This is your Sick Fix at 6.
If you're not a big fan of spiders, I've got some even worse news for you, unfortunately. How do you feel about spiders?
I'm not arachnophobic.
Me either.
But they're not my favourite thing in the world. Like, I'll take them over a snake.
I would take them over a cockroach.
Really?
Spiders, I think, just keep to themselves. You don't bother them. They don't bother you. Whereas cockroaches, I feel like they've got a vendetta against humans. They just come for you.
Yeah, and I think the thing for snakes for me is, like, I think when I was quite young, I saw a snake, like, in real life, wrap around, I don't know, some sort of Aussie marsupial or something, like a possum or something, and I saw that, like, asphyxiation thing they do, and I think I was just, like, wrecked from that moment.
That's a very fair call.
And spiders can't do that.
No, spiders can't
do
that.
So I'll take a spider over a snake any day.
Well, mate, you're going to be taking a lot of spiders because summer is going to see a booming influx, scientists say, in parts of Queensland of huntsman spiders. So even though they look big and scary, they're nice.
Are they?
Huntsmans, aren't they?
They are nice, are they?
Okay. They're the ones that look very hairy.
I had a true story. I've never told you this. Uh-oh. I had it was my dad's uncle.
Yeah.
So a relative of mine. He got bit on the ass in like an outhouse in the days when toilets were outside the house by a redback spider, and he had to go into intensive care and stuff. Like,
they're
nearly
killers,
killed him,
aren't they?
Nearly killed Uncle Ken, but he did survive.
Oh my God. Did he get the bite tattooed on him so he always remembered it?
Dunno. Didn't look close enough his
No,
ass.
That's fair. Don't do that. Thanks to La Nina, spiders are apparently just going to be booming over the next couple of months because they like the hot weather and the wet weather. And because of that, there's lots of food around for them. So, be careful. They're really aggressive, though. So don't worry. Huntsmans are not deadly either. So you don't have to worry too much.
Is it going to be like a booming, you might not know this, you might know this. Is it going to be a booming mating season again? Because that's what scientists are saying about Queensland snakes this summer.
The snakes are
horny this summer.
I think it's been and gone. And now I think we're going to deal with the ramifications of the springtime love. Over the next summer.
So,
it's going to be.
The spiders were horny 9 months ago.
Yes, exactly. I don't know the gestation period of a spider. Leave it with me. I'll try and figure
it
out.
All right, look it up. I mean, I expect you to be prepared.
Yeah, sorry.
You come to these things.
It's been a big week of shakeups over at Channel 10 with the announcement that a very special lady is going to be sitting behind the desk on the project very, very soon. She's very well known to the Channel 10 family, and she joins us right now. It is Sarah Harris. Good morning.
Hello, you two. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I can't quite believe it. I can't quite wrap my head around it because I've only been able to talk about it for the last kind of 48 hours.
Is this being on our show right now or the project? Because they're both obviously very exciting.
Oh, obviously your show. That's right, of course. And also that other little thing that I'm doing, the project. Yeah.
I think the question on everyone's lips being like, who's going to replace our own Carrie Bickmore?
Yes, yes.
Who's going to replace Lisa? Like, they need two now. But in swan Sarah Harris, who's kind of replacing both of
tick,
them.
Tick, tick, exactly.
Oh, look, honestly, they've probably gone, she can do it cheaper. No, 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 I'm just kidding. Carrie and Lisa are the most iconic TV women ever. I mean, Carrie called me. She started this show. This was her baby.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to be leaving a show that you've built from the ground up, because that's exactly what I'm doing with Studio 10. I'm leaving Studio 10 to go to the project. But she gave me a call the night before my announcement just to check if I was okay and just to welcome me to the team and to, you know, just to wish me all the luck in the world. Beautiful Lisa sent me this gorgeous text as well. Like, everyone's been so supportive. But to step into the shoes of these two women, Logie Award winning women, it's nerve-wracking, that's for sure. But I just want to get in there and be me and hopefully, you know, that's enough.
Yes. That must be exciting, though, as you said, after so many years, you know, doing Studio 10 and doing that so well, this new challenge, you know, it's a new time slot, it's a new alarm clock, I imagine. You don't have to get up as early. That must be exciting so far into a successful career to still have the butterflies about a new job.
100%. And, you know, I'm 41 and I thought, oh, maybe this is kind of the last year of me on TV. I don't know. Like, I wonder how it's going. And then next minute they're offering me kind of the biggest job in telly. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God, it's incredible. it's still so overwhelming and mind blowing. And it's going to be a different city as well. I'll be in Melbourne 4 days a week. I'll be doing Sunday projects from Sydney. It'll be a lot of frequent flyer miles, but hey, it's, I feel like being locked down during the pandemic for a couple of years has really given me lots of energy to take on this big new challenge.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, I can't wait. January 8th is when it all kicks off. But in the meantime, please join us as we celebrate Carrie Bickmore's final show on Wednesday. Yeah. It is going to be epic. Massive guests. Big surprises.
Ooh.
Yeah,
speaking of final shows, I know it's another network, but did you watch Tracy's farewell last night on ACCA?
Another successful woman.
Sales stepped down this year as well. Like,
I know, incredible. I think the pandemic system refocused all of our priorities. And beautiful Trace, I was a Junior Burger reporter and worked on Today's Show when she was hosting. Oh, and she was.
She's a legend.
So fabulous, and she is what you get. Like, what you see is what you get with Tracy. She's just sensible. She's no nonsense.
Mm.
Tough, but she's also hilarious. I hope she has a good break because she's bloody earned it. She has worked her guts out for the longest time.
Very true.
I think she's just one of the best in Australia, best in viewers. And sad to see her go. She's such a trailblazer.
Do you have any advice, Sarah, for people out there that are listening that want to get into TV, maybe do the reporting? What's something you wish you could tell?
Do you have any advice for Bronte?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm here for.
Yeah, look, you know, it's funny. If you want to get into TV, we keep stealing people from radio. Radio is where it's at because it's fast paced, it's immediate. You guys are often, you know, filing several stories, dealing with social media at the same time. I mean, if you can go regional, I learned my craft, as they say, on a weekday show in Brisbane called Brisbane Extra years ago, and it taught me everything I needed to know about TV. It was brilliant. I worked my guts out, and it just kind of set me up for where I am now. So you've just kind of got to do the hard yards and know that, I mean, I've been doing this since what? I did Work Experience when I was 16.
Wow.
At Channel 7. And it's now, what, I'm 41 and I've got this job. So prepare to hang around for a while.
Slow burn, but it's worth it, it sounds like.
Radio's that's good it. If you're like me and you're ugly too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
I don't believe
face
it for a
for radio, Sarah. Not you know, like yeah, yours.
But you know what? The draw card is you get to do your job in your active wear, right?
Yeah, you're not right. wrong. You're not how wrong, Sarah.
I'm literally wearing Birkenstocks right now.
I'm wearing heels and Spanx under a pair of pants at the moment, so you win.
And that is actually what Cliffo was wearing too, so that is strange.
I'm rocking the Birks. And the Spanx.
Yes.
All right, don't miss it. Sarah Harris, she's still on Studio 10 for now, but the project, it's Sundays to Thursdays at 6:30 on 10. Sarah Harris, love
bye,
having
guys.
You on the show. Thanks, mate.
Bye, bye.
Your, what'd you call it, recommendation.
Yeah, recommendation station. Thought it could be fun to do.
It's nice to give a little recommendation before the weekend if there's, you know, if you're after a new book or a new movie or a TV series or something like that.
Yeah.
We are professional consumers of that stuff.
Yeah, it's part of my tax return.
In this business. I mean, after 9 o'clock, there's a lot of time to fill.
We're just trying to stay up to date so we can give you all the information.
You're welcome. I want to talk to you about something I think you and a lot of people will love. It's on Netflix at the moment. It's called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? This may have come up in your like recommendations. It's trending now. I think it's number 2 or 3 in Australia right now. And it's one of those Netflix documentary series. Mm. 4 episodes, about 45 minutes each, something like that. I want you to cast your mind back to the 90s.
Oh, what a time.
Think Spice Girls on the radio, you know, Peter Andre, Backstreet Boys, that sort of stuff.
Great time to be
Clueless
alive.
Was in cinemas.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was on Saturday Disney.
Titanic was the number one movie.
Mate.
Although that is still now, so.
You're there. So in the 90s, it's the height of the Cola Wars. It's Pepsi versus Coke, Coke versus Pepsi.
Oh, yeah.
And to try and edge one out, over Coke, Pepsi came up with this promotion with Pepsi points, they were called. So essentially, what you would do is you would collect all these Pepsi points. You get so many points, you get a T-shirt. So many points, you get a pair of sunnies. So many points, you get a leather jacket. And they put all this on a commercial. And there was a joke at the end of the commercial that said, if you get 7 million Pepsi points, you will win a Harrier jet.
Right.
Which is one of those American jets that doesn't need like a runway.
Has it got the
like
two propellers
jet.
And they just kind of raise it up?
It goes up and then,
right.
So you see them on aircraft carriers.
They're
worth about $35 million each, right? So it's obviously a joke. However, they didn't put a disclaimer or anything on the bottom of it. Enter a guy, and he's the hero of the story. He's a teenager in the 90s. And I think this is the key. Like, if you grew up in that era, his name's John Leonard. You become John. John Leonard.
It's like, what a crossover.
That's a totally different story, the story of the Beatles. No, it's John Leonard. He's a teenager in the 90s. He devises a plot, like a way to be able to get together the 7 million Pepsi points to win the Harrier jet. Pepsi amazing. Realized, oh my God, this guy is for real because he gets a lawyer and all that. They offer him $1 million.
Oh, so he does get the 7 million points.
Yeah.
Okay,
He finds a loophole in the system.
Sure.
I won't give spoilers. But he finds a way that Pepsi legally really owes him a Harrier jet. To try and shut him up, they offer him $1 million, but they underestimated John.
This is when things really started to get crazy.
They never figured that there ever would be a John Leonard.
What do I have to lose?
You wanted that jet.
I want the jet.
Johnny wants the jet.
Like, 10 minutes into this, you are going to be rooting for a guy who you've never met before named John Leonard.
Yeah.
You're just going to be going, get the jet. Like, from the word go, you want this guy to get his bloody jet.
Have you finished it?
I have one episode to go. That is
my
Friday night viewing, all sorted.
I'm so excited.
But I'm so into this right now. I'm so invested. I was like, recommendation station, Pepsi, where's my jet? Give John the jet. Give John the jet.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.